Now, tell me once more what happened last night.
You mean again?
Yes, again, I'm afraid.
Now it's garbage.
Another movie night.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night, and I am Scott, and with me is my Atragon pilot, Joe.
Okay, arigato. I'll be your pilot.
I think you challenged me to come up with new names every week, so I'm going to try my best.
I like it.
What are we doing today?
Shabaru gomi, which means talking trash in Japanese.
I appreciate that. That's pretty amazing. Yeah, we are talking trash. This is our show to review, spoil, debate, crap on, and give second chances to the hated, the lowest rated, and the much debated, and often forgotten flicks on the internet. All while asking the question, is this the worst movie ever made? And if not, what is? Because here on the show, we truly believe you can't review films unless you know what the worst are. And this month, we've been doing kaiju films or movies with big-ass monsters in them. And I will say that we failed this week.
Well, I gotta say, I feel like I was a little duped, Scotty.
I would say a little duped. Let's, for this week, we're gonna change big-ass monsters to big-ass submarines.
Well, because the name Atragon is a total dupe. It sounds like a big kaiju.
It does. So, we buried the lead a little bit. Tonight, we are watching a movie with the tagline, Ride the Juggernaut of Destruction from the Depths of the Seven Seas to the Outer Limits of Space.
Oh, my God. Okay.
I don't even know where they came up with that one.
No. Uh-uh.
I feel like I gotta...
Oh, you gotta...
A little bit of a...
A wet
a
whistle?
Thing. A little bit of a... Whistle.
You got a little bit of a wet whistle.
Oh,
my
God.
Mom would say, just to wet your whistle, have some water.
Should I? Would it make it worse?
That's what my mom used to say. Oh, you got a dry throat? Just wet your whistle. Here's some water. Here's some iced tea.
I like it. Today, we are talking about 1963's Atragon, a.k.a. Kaiti Gunkan.
Which okay, what does that translate to?
Underground battleship.
All right, okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense. It's the only thing that does make sense here.
Yes.
Yeah.
It has a 5.3 on IMDb from 1,600 reviewers. It's once again directed by legend Eiichiro Honda, who is the director of Godzilla, Rodan, Mothra, Ghidorah, and last week's movies, Frankenstein Conquers the World, and War of the Gargantuas, which we did back-to-back so far. We watched, just so everybody knows, we watched the AIP version, which is American International Pictures' dub. That's how we watched it. This is the dub that Toho doesn't want anybody to know, you know, see. I think they made this so AIP could release this on DVD with this dub, but Toho refused to allow that. They only allow people to see their dubbing, which is a big thing with Toho. They hate people doing dubs. They want strict, like, final say on it, which makes sense. It's their movie. I get it.
Okay. I understand that.
But a lot of that could explain why this movie was so confusing to us.
I have a lot of questions. Actually, I really only have two major questions when it comes down to it.
But I guess I do have two major questions as well. Yeah. I don't think they're going to be the same. I don't think they're going to be the same questions, but who knows? They could be. What we do on this show is we dissect the whole movies. We talk through the plot and try to figure it out as we go along. And I think that this is going to be interesting one to talk about because this is one of those movies that is an hour and 23 minutes that felt like 3 hours.
Sure did.
It was like, but it never stopped doing things. But I think my mind was like, what is happening? Like every couple minutes, I was like, where am I? What is happening? What did I miss? Who is that person?
You know, it's one of those movies where like you're into it. You're watching every single thing that's happening, but yet you still feel like you missed a scene.
Yes.
And that's not at all what happened here. Like we were paying attention the whole time. It's like, but we, like you blink and then like it's something's just, you miss it. You blink and you miss it. But that's not what happened.
Yeah. This is definitely a movie that was made for constant rewinding. Like, oh, wait a minute. We missed something here.
I feel like I needed to rewind a couple times. And I was like, if I do that, this movie's going to be 4 hours. So let's not do it.
Well, I started taking bullet points at one point in this movie, only to remind myself of things that have happened. And I'm going to try my damnedest, which I do every single week, talk out the plot in order. And you doing what you do is throw me off the scent. So we're going to see how that works out.
Are
right
you
now.
Firing me?
No. You're the entertaining part. I'm the person who's struggling.
You're struggling?
I'm struggling and you're keeping me afloat.
Now tell me once more what happened last night.
You mean again?
Yes, again, I'm afraid.
So, okay. I love this because this movie starts off, right? It starts off with a great opening, which we thought instantly we're in for a good time.
Oh, yeah, 100%. It just went right into it.
It starts right off the bat with we can't tell what's happening. First, the first thing we see is a guy driving crazy with his passenger in the back seat freaking out. And when the guy's like, hey, stop doing what you're doing, he kind of reaches over and touches the driver. The driver is your typical bad guy in sunglasses.
Oh, and a scarf.
No. That's not, no.
No, he had a scarf. He did. Yeah, he had like an ascot.
I thought this guy was just in a suit.
He was, but he also had a scarf. And you know that when you have an ascot and sunglasses, you're a bad guy. He did. He had like a gray scarf around his neck.
Interesting. I don't remember that. But I mean, that makes sense for what's going on in the movie later on.
Yeah.
Which I still don't really understand. But anyways, we'll get into that. When he touches this guy like zaps him. So we know that this is some kind of alien, I guess. Right?
Or
because
superpowered human.
Superpowered human. I'm so used to watching Toho films. Where in Toho films, in every Godzilla movie, there's like an alien race that looks just like everybody else.
Of course.
You know, and you're kind of, and they'll go, oh, that's just a mask. They actually have a crazy creature underneath. And the Godzilla films are famous for having some of the craziest creature people. There's like roach people in one of them. It's insane. And I thought the same thing was happening here. Well, all of a sudden, the camera cuts to a photographer filming a movie scene. And I don't know if they're filming a movie. They're filming something, and there's a model involved. And there's two guys working the camera. One of them is pretending to be like a Bond villain with an eye patch.
Yeah, that's funny.
And
that's why I thought they were filming a movie, because he was like literally in full wardrobe.
Yeah, one of them's in full wardrobe. And I guess they're the only crew. And I don't know if this is just photography for a magazine. Why, though, are they doing like a James Bond type thing? And I guess they don't have permits because they're telling them to rush and it's at night.
Yeah.
And as they're filming this, she starts, the model involved in this drops like her robe and she's got like a bikini. And she's like, hurry and get the shots. It's cold out or whatever. So they like go to get the shots. But at the exact same moment, a creature that looks like he belongs in a Scooby-Doo movie comes out of the water. And I can only explain this is a guy in a scuba outfit. But if the scuba outfit was covered in aluminum foil and you said scotch tape.
No, he looks like he has his whole suit made out of duct tape.
Oh, duct tape.
Yeah, and he had like a scuba mask and everything. Like, I was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
They're making the villain look like this? Like, what? That's supposed to be the monster? That's what I thought at first. It was a monster.
I thought that's what the aliens were going to look like, or the people in this movie. I didn't know either. And I would say that it's scaly. There's like little scale flaps of like silver aluminum foil or something.
Yeah, so that's why I was like, damn, Toho. I'm like, you totally dropped the ball on this monster. This monster sucks.
Yeah. So I guess this guy, these camera guys starts, oh my God, there's a monster. The model's freaking out. They don't know what it is, but they see it. They take pictures of it. But at the exact same moment this is happening, the car from the opening, which I actually got to the point and I was like, wasn't there a car thing? Was this movie edited? Like, did I get a version of this movie that's not edited properly? Because where'd that car go?
I'm very confused.
Comes out of nowhere.
Yeah. Who's driving?
So that guy, remember the cab driver, the driver with the scarf? Remember?
Yeah, but he got out of the car at one point, didn't he?
No.
No, so he just drove
the car. He just drives the car right off the pier. Well, and I love about this. Okay, well, it
makes sense when you
not really, because the scuba guy somehow climbed up the pier.
Oh, yeah, he did.
He climbed up the pier just to peer over and go, hello.
Hello.
I'm here. And then he dove back in, and the car drives right off the pier and goes into the ocean. And I love it. It's a model car. You can clearly see.
It's a tow-ho car.
Because there's hardly any splashing.
Little teeny tiny.
Whoever the guy was as the passenger and whoever the driver were, they disappeared. So what we see is that the next morning, the cops are all there at the pier, allowing all of the press just to walk around with them as they investigate.
Sure.
Yeah. And we now meet, not only do we have these two guys that are photographers, we have the chief of police and then this other guy who is a head journalist who is, now I guess we got to break this down because it's important. This guy's the only human being in this movie that seems to have only a beard, no mustache, just a beard.
Yeah, which I motioned to you that it's very rare that you see, like, in any of these Toho movies, unless they're super duper old, like, you don't really see a lot of young men with facial hair. So that's why I was like, okay, this guy, something's wrong with him.
Yeah, and he's also wearing sunglasses, an entire giant coat, a scarf as well that matches perfectly. He looks like Andy Cap. He's like got the red and dark red striping, like plaid hat and matching scarf. And he's got these giant thick brown gloves. So I'm a reporter. I'm trying to investigate this. And they're just letting him walk around as they investigate. And the cop, the chief, whoever this guy is, this detective, he makes everybody tell the exposition of what happened twice, to the point where the one photographer goes, again? And so we actually get dialogue a second time from, like, this one guy goes, I got choked. And I froze. It was the hottest thing. It was weird. It was like electric. And he tells that story twice.
Is this the cab you reported stolen?
Yes. Positive, sir.
Tell me all about it.
I was cruising around near the tow construction site. Suddenly I was choked, unable to breathe. I never saw him, sir.
1 minute later.
His hands, he had a grip like iron on my throat. They were as hot as a torch.
And I was like, what is happening? They pull a car out of the ocean and there's no one in it. So they're like, what's going on? But at the same time, there is a boat that shows up with this woman and this man, and the two photographers freak out. I need that woman in my life. That's like literally this guy's motivation to this movie. This guy's motivation is, I need a model. I don't like the one we had in the opening. And that's like a running thing with him. And he sees this woman and he goes, that's the woman I want in all my photos.
Are you sure? It's really her?
Yes, I'm certain it's the girl. What do I do next? Huh? Ask her to go to work. Huh? Well, I don't think she'll consent.
Well, I can hope. I need that girl to do this job.
And honestly, these two characters, the photographer, the movie makers, or if you want to call them that.
Sure, whatever.
They're completely useless to the plot. Absolutely, like, useless.
I'm going to say that useless to the plot is this entire movie. I mean, the entire movie. If you break down every single thing that happens in this movie, everything keeps getting more useless and making less sense.
And now to explain what we're talking about, here is one character's entire plotline in a minute. That means absolutely nothing if she was removed from the story altogether.
Look at her. I must ask her to be our model. Are you sure? It's really her?
Yes, I'm certain it's the girl. What do I do next? Huh? Ask her to go to work.
Did father die?
My dear girl, how can you doubt what I've told you? The one thing he asked whether I look after you as my own child.
We almost missed her.
She's very pretty, isn't she?
Oh, that's one of the prettiest girls I've ever seen outside of a dream.
You said there'd been somebody following you. Is he the one?
Yes, that's the one.
This is Makoto, your daughter.
Where is she going?
I think you're crazy. You must be. Isn't there a kind word you can say to your daughter? Where's your heart, Captain?
Let go. You're hurting.
We're going to Mew. I'm taking you there.
Manda shall get them.
Look who's there. Go.
Oh, you changed your mind.
Makoto.
I'm so happy.
And now, with that being said, we still end up talking about her longer than she matters to the plot line throughout this podcast. So, sorry about that.
Yeah. I mean, as we're going along, I had my permanent I'm baffled face on, because I feel as though, like, I guess maybe it was my own expectations, but still, I got a lot to say.
Yeah. Well, he can't get to this woman. She gets in a car. He calls for her, but she looks and she just gets in the car. And he is able to get some of the best snapshots with his cameras. He perfectly gets her getting into the car and her looking at him, and perfectly gets the license plate.
Like, that's next level stalker shit right there.
Yeah, but it's also like how quick it was.
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of like our little segue into meeting our main character.
But I will point out, this movie's got layers upon layers of characters, and to the point where I looked at you and I said, well, who's that guy now? Oh, and who is that other guy? Because not only do we have a cop, two photographers,
mm-hmm.
This woman and a man who got in a car and drove away, the reporter, the weird reporter, and now there's another guy looking from each corner of a building, staring at them weird.
Yeah, there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen here. I mean, this is one Toho movie that I was like, oh my gosh, like I never had to question, who's that? Who's that? Who's this guy? Now who's that?
Yeah.
Like, I never had to question in any other Toho movie this much who these people are. And I'm still like, okay, what's the reasoning to put half these characters in here?
Yeah.
They were just useless.
Oh, and we didn't even, in that layers, we didn't even say there's a bad guy driving the guy that they stole in the opening of this movie. It, to the point where, since the movie opened with somebody else, we kind of questioning, who is the main guy?
Right. I had no idea who our main character was supposed to be.
Supposed to be at all.
Until we meet her.
Well, we go in, now we find out a whole backstory, because the character, the woman that he's looking for, is her uncle?
So her uncle is, he raised her. He is the admiral in the Navy.
He was, right?
Yeah.
Is he a retired admiral, or is he still?
I don't think he is. He's a retired admiral.
He does something else now, but I can't even tell you.
Yeah, so her name is Makoto, and she, so her father, I guess, is presumed dead.
Yeah, during the war.
During the war, and left her when she was 3 years old to be raised by the admiral, which is her uncle.
Yes.
So she's never known her father her whole life, but she assumes that he's dead.
Yes. But it's kind of like iffy on if that's true or not, and it's weird. But this reporter now comes to investigate or go to talk to this guy, and basically sets up this plot line that there is some weird stuff going on, but also that he thinks it has some kind of connection to that girl's father.
Mm-hmm.
That is a presumed dead, who he says he doesn't believe is dead, and he thinks that he's working on a secret project for the Navy, making a special weapon for the Navy.
Right? Okay.
And so he's setting this up, and he's like, "I have information on this stuff, and I want to." Basically, sounds like he's kind of blackmailing him in a weird way, but we really don't know.
Yeah, but that's my first question: how do you even know this? Like, how does he know this for sure?
Yeah, he says that he has information on it, and that he's investigating these weird kidnappings, and that the one in the opening wasn't the first one, and he thinks that has a connection to it, and if he doesn't help him find out where this general is, this guy that went missing who is presumed dead, he thinks that he knows the information. If he doesn't, he's going to release that there is something going on. That's what he's kind of like setting up. But now everything starts happening where the characters start. I don't even know. Does the villains come in yet?
Yeah. So this is where the uncle and the niece get in the car, and
that's right.
They're being pursued by the two movie makers because one of them wants her to be the model in his new movie, and then
there's that other guy looking around.
There's another guy creeping around the corner looking at them,
and their cab driver. That's right. Their cab driver, or whatever, is taking them the wrong way, and they realize it. And it's another one. It's the alien guy the bad guy from the beginning that drove into the water.
Yeah, and we know this because he's wearing the same exact outfit.
Yeah.
So then he forces them out of the car and forces them down by the ocean, and they see I would say it's like fart bubbles.
Yes.
When you're taking a bath. Not that I've ever done that, but I'm just saying. It's like, and so they're like fart bubbles coming out of the ocean, and there's like, they see like these people, like I guess humanoids, just rising out of the ocean.
Yeah.
And
it's the same scuba diving looking people, but yeah. They kind of look like little toys from a distance.
Yeah.
So you don't really know what's going on. And they're like, okay, they're all rising out of the ocean, and there's something bigger behind them, like they have some kind of craft that come out of the water.
Yeah.
Which you're going to assume is like maybe a submarine type thing. You don't really know what's going on.
I thought it was going to be like the abyss and have that like big thing come up.
Yeah, that could be.
No.
Well, he starts dropping like exposition about how they have to come with him because they are going, they need to find that guy that he's building a weapon and they need to stop it. And that he has to come with them to help them find him. And they're like, no. So those reporters, those two camera guys show up. Not reporters, but whatever the hell they are. And they kind of bumble a little bit. So the bad guy loses his weapon and they are able to put the gun on him. But this, I love this guy's like, hey, you can kill me all you want. Just going to be another guy.
Yeah, but he explains that there's a, they have.
There's a tape later on that explains all that exposition.
But he says that there's a civilization. We are a civilization and we're going to come and conquer the world. Doesn't he tell them that? He tells them that by the ocean.
I don't think he tells them exactly that, but maybe he does. But I guess you're right, because he must drop some information there because they're like baffled that they don't believe him.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do with them?
They are going to swear their allegiance to the Mu Empire.
Mu Empire?
Yes, I am here as a Mu agent assigned to Earth.
The Mu Empire? Insane. The Mu Empire is believed to have sunk into the sea at least 10,000 years ago.
That is correct. It did. It's under the sea.
There cannot be such an empire.
But it does exist, Admiral, as you will see.
You won't kidnap anyone if I've got anything to say. Oh.
Let it go. You are no match against my strength. You will all be taken away to work as our slaves.
Stop! Get up, or I'll shoot!
It's no use. You shoot me, there'll be others. You'll be captured by other agents.
You just keep your hands up. We are taking you to the police.
No, you will not. We shall meet again.
But we don't fully get the grasp this idea until he says, look, you can kill me or whatever. Another guy's going to be sent here to kidnap you. We're going to keep coming. And he runs out into the ocean. He just dives into the ocean, disappears laughing.
Yeah.
And then all those people sink back into the ocean. And they're like, oh, shit. Now, I don't know why all of those people out in the ocean just don't attack.
Yeah, I don't get
it
either.
There's only one gun. They have to have more weapons over there.
They should attack. That at that point, they could take them and, you know, kidnap them and do whatever they want.
Yeah, I don't get
it. So I don't get it.
So the next day, they get they go to the cops, and that the cop... Okay, I love this scene. The chief of police or whoever the hell this is pointing the gun from the bad guy at his cell, like right into his face in the next shot. And he goes, so let me get this straight. As he's pointing the barrel into his face, he goes, let me get this straight. You removed all the bullets? I would kind of hope so, bro. Like, I mean,
it was the funniest thing in this movie. I mean, there was no funny in this movie whatsoever, but that was funny.
Well, we were joking about a lot of stuff.
Well, we were joking, yeah. But like, you know, there was nothing that was like purposely funny.
No, there wasn't. Well, I even love this guy. Dump is even worse because the next shot he's like, I just don't get it, and sits next to them, and he keeps hitting himself in the back of the head like he's trying to look for information.
And he was trying to knock the information out of his brain, exactly. And out of his mouth.
You have a whole room full of your main characters here. Even the reporter, I think, shows up, right? I don't even know. Like, everybody shows up here.
The reporter with the hat and the scarf, yes. And the gloves and the jacket, he's always around.
Everybody comes here, and then they get perfectly a delivered package that looks like it would be a time bomb, like, wrapped up.
And they don't seem to be too concerned about it either. They're just, like, standing around. Like, I don't know. It looks like a bomb.
Yeah, and there he's like, look, it's the postmark is to deliver to you at this police station, and it's sent from the Mu Empire. They actually put a return address to their country.
The Mu Empire. In the depths of the ocean, 2,800 feet below.
Yeah. They jiggle this thing around before opening it up, and one of them goes, it could be a bomb. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It's fine.
The cops don't even think about
let's
this.
Let's just open it up and see what's in there.
Yeah.
And the photographers, they're taking pictures of it. I'm like, oh my God, these fucking assholes. Like, the only reason that I can imagine that he was there taking pictures is because he wasn't afraid for reasons.
Yes. Well, they finally do open it up. They finally get the balls to open this package up. Oh, although some of them stand behind each other like they're all going to blow up any minute.
I know.
And they open it up, and it's a reel of tape, a film. And so naturally, the guy just starts opening it up, looking at each frame into the sun, into the light. But the next shot we do see is they have put it onto a projector, and they're watching a movie that was sent to them. So this is where we get the exposition dump of what's happening in this film.
Okay. Please enlighten me again.
So this is the Mu Empire, an empire that was born before... How long into the past were they settled?
I mean, didn't they say like millennia?
Yeah, it's a long time ago. And they found a home in the core of the Earth. And the way that they did this is they made their own sun, which I'm guessing is like a geothermal type of steam device.
Yeah, it's like a machine.
It's a huge machine that is just, I guess, everything in their society uses steam. Everything looks very Egyptian or Mayan.
Mm-hmm.
Even the costumes. Everybody seems... It's just like they took a bunch of books and they went, that looks cool. Let's just use that. Let's use that model. In this footage, they filmed... They're very generous, the Mu Empire. They filmed their entire society to give them, you know, hey, we got some cool stuff. So you want to know what we're like. We have these weapons. We have these capabilities. They show little... They have this... little tiny model that they made, and they're shooting this model.
That's one thing I love about Toho.
Yeah, and there's little tiny water cabs flying around out there. It's supposed to be underwater, which does not make sense for the movie, really, because what we find out is the society of the Mu Empire, they have no abilities.
No.
The only ability they seem to have is they're electrified like an eel.
Yeah, so they do have, like, shock ability. So, yeah, like an electric eel. But the weird situation that I was having an issue with is that they're supposed to be underwater. So, like, you would think that their whole, like, civilization would be, like, you know, Aquaman. You know, like,
yeah,
you know?
You would think that they would be, like, amphibian or
film like that. They don't have the capabilities to film like that underwater and all that stuff. And people would just,
so they need scuba suits.
Yeah.
Well, that's crazy.
But this civilization, they seem to have built in, like you said, in the Earth's core, some kind of safety environment where they're not actually in the water, but they're in the water.
Yes.
It's weird.
It's odd. Like, they would have to be, like, pressurized. I don't understand how any of this works with these characters. And I don't know why there's a theme of being cold when they're on the surface.
Yeah,
that's a running thing in this movie. We'll get into it more as we get into it. But
well, here's the thing. It's weird because, you know, we know that the reporter is bundled up. But, like, if he's outside in the sun. That's a real sun. That's the real sun, not a manufactured sun. So why would he still be cold?
I don't know, because I guess in the core of the Earth, you would be hot. Is that what they're suggesting? That closer to the core would be volcanic? And so there it's more hot? But usually they say that the farther you get into the ocean, the deeper the colder it gets.
Yeah.
Because it gets darker.
Right.
So I'm a little confused at how that works for them. I don't know. But there does seem to be a thing where the people are... I'll just say it. Because there's no hiding it. The reporter in this movie that's bundled up all the time is one of these Mu Empire people.
Yeah, he's like a spy.
We knew instantly. The fact that nobody in this movie seems to recognize that this guy's creepy or off. The guy that is constantly saying that he's cold and sneezing when he's out in the sun. Like, there's something wrong here. How does no one know it? We knew it the moment we saw him. I'm like, there's no doubt. This guy's a bad guy.
We got an admiral. We got military people. We got police. And no one can figure out that something's off about this guy.
Like, he has information. Why would he have it? No one seems to know anything.
But the best thing about it is that they keep inviting him places.
He's invited to the whole movie.
They get on a fucking plane with him.
Yeah, I just wanted to say before we move to the plane, I just wanted to say that the Mu Empire they worship a god.
Okay.
This is another thing. Their god, Manda.
Which is what?
So Manda is they purposely designed this creature after the Chinese dragon, because the year that this movie was releasing was the year of the dragon.
Ah, okay.
So they tried to make it look like the dragon from that. We couldn't stop laughing that it was Mushu from Moana. Not Moana, I'm sorry.
Mulan.
And it does, because I think that's where that character is also based from, looking like. It's basically like a serpent, but with little hands. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what's going on here. And this one can swim underwater. So it does look more like a snake. But we don't see, it doesn't matter, because we only hear about this god that they worship. We never really see it until almost the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And they are mentioning how in this tape that they have, they say that they know that this guy is creating a ship called the Atragon.
It's a submarine, okay?
Yeah.
Now, here I'm very, this is where the movie, like, punch me in the face, because I was like, what?
Yeah, okay.
I thought Atragon was a monster.
I did too. We got fooled. Atragon, and since we now know that it means, you know, battleship, underwater battleship virtually.
Yeah.
Like, it makes sense. And what's funny is in the other dubbings of it, the Atragon that's not the name of the ship. An Atragon is what the ship is.
Right.
But the name of the ship apparently is Gotengo. That's the name of the ship, apparently, in the other dubs. But in this movie, they only call it Atragon, the one we saw. So the Mu Empire now somehow knows that this guy is inventing this ship.
This was the pride of the Japanese Imperial Navy, the most powerful submarine ever built. It sailed under the command of Captain Jinguchi. But to our regret, the commander and the crew were missing when we captured this remarkable vessel. According to a recent report, Captain Jinguchi is building an even more powerful submarine. He has named it Atragon. It is to be an undersea battleship. Some of you are well aware of this fact. We strongly advise you to stop him from completing Atragon. In the near future, our Mu Empire must be restored to all its former glory, and you will once again be under our domination. These are the voices of our people beseeching you to obey us.
And that they want it stopped.
Now, this guy, when you say guy, it's a mysterious guy.
Well, the guy that died, apparently the girl's father.
Yeah, that he's apparently alive, and he's creating, over the last 20 years, mind you, it's been 20 years since he's been missing, this amazing, like, a submarine that has like all these capabilities,
which we don't know. We keep hearing about it for like half the movie. Like we're like, okay, we want the Atragon stopped. We see it as an attack on our people, and we will destroy the surface if it isn't stopped. And we will show our power like as it goes on. Now that's the crazy part, because the world sees that as a huge attack on, you know, their government, of course, of all the world. They're like, oh, this is a threat. So they kind of start trying to go under the water to the core, because for some reason the Mu Empire tells everybody, hey, this is where we are.
You know what? They don't try to hide shit.
They don't try to hide anything.
Okay, yeah, we're under here. But you know what? They know that a normal submarine cannot reach them because they're like, what, a million leagues under the sea, almost at the Earth's core. So any submarine that tries to go down there is going to like implode. So they're safe down there, which makes me wonder, why do you give a shit about this submarine Atragon?
Okay, yeah, that's... I had the two questions I said before, and that is one of the big ones.
That's my question.
I will say this, by the way, we actually do see Americans try to go under the water and they implode.
Yeah, in the submarine, they try to go under there, and they're following one of their submarines down there.
Yeah.
And they keep going lower and lower and lower, and as the Americans try to descend lower, they realize, oh shit, we got to go back up, and they don't make it.
They don't make it. And at this same time, because they see that happen, they're like, oh, this is an act of war. So we're now starting the problem, and you still haven't given us Atragon. So they start rising their ships up to the top of the water, and they start attacking all the battleships. We find out that their submarines have some kind of ray gun that looks like their god, shooting their ships. Literally one shot just makes them burst into flames. And they do this to tons. And they say that they're going to destroy New York and Tokyo.
I mean, so, of course they're going to destroy New York and Tokyo.
So what happens is our main team, our main core group of people, they find out that that guy that was following the reporters for a while, he actually is keeping tabs on the girl, apparently. Now, I don't know why that is, but they come to figure out that he was following them, and he is put in jail, and the guy who is the uncle, basically goes and tries to interrogate him. And now, the interrogation is hilarious, because this guy keeps saying, I can't tell you anything. I can't tell you anything. I can show you everything, but I can't tell you anything.
I can show you, but I can't tell you.
And they go,
I love that.
You gotta give him some information. No. I don't want to.
He could be a Mu agent. Oh, you must get him to talk.
No! I don't belong to them! I'm not a Mu agent!
Then why were you following her?
Why?
You thought she knew something about her father, and you were going to get the secret out of her.
No!
And I say yes.
No! The Navy, correct? I, under Jinguchi, I remain loyal to him.
Jinguchi? Jinguchi is alive?
Is he? Talk up!
Where is the captain?
Sorry, sir.
Tell me.
I can't have been forbidden.
I must know. Where is the captain?
I'm under orders, sir.
He's my father. I have to see him.
No, I must not betray him.
I'm sure the captain knows your loyalty to him. I think he'd want you to tell us. It's that serious.
I understand.
Where is he?
I can't say. You must stop asking. But I can take you to him.
I can take you to where your father's alive on this island. So they all get on a plane and they take that reporter that's always cold. They take him with them.
Of course.
Why?
They take everybody. Everybody we've met is on this plane.
And somebody asks them. Someone actually in the movie says, why, you know, Admiral, why are we taking this guy? Oh, he's a reporter. He can document everything.
Yeah, he's like, he has information we might need.
What?
Tell me, sir, what's the name?
What?
You know the name of the island. Now, what about it?
I cannot reveal it.
What's the matter with you? Let me assure you, the United Nations needs that submarine.
You must wait. Why did you insist on taking him?
He's a reporter. He would have released the story if we hadn't taken him along. This is the only way we can maintain secrecy.
And he's saying that he's going to tell the world about this guy.
Okay, but here's the thing. Telling the world about any of this would put everyone in a mass hysteria because there's aliens underneath the freaking water that are coming to take out the world.
We keep saying aliens, but it's just like... It's humans.
Okay, well,
that
they're aliens.
Evolved.
They're aliens to them.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they're living in the freaking Earth's core, for God's sakes, and they have powers of zap ability. And like, why would you bring a reporter to document all of this? Yeah. You're just going to freak everyone out. What's the reasoning?
It's too late for that. But I will say this real fast. The reason we keep saying aliens is because one of the confusing moments is we go into outer space and we see what looks like a roulette table flying around in space. And we were like, wait a minute, now who is this? And
we still don't understand
who that was. We think it was I know it was probably said, but we blanked out on it. We have no idea.
You know what's amazing is that this is a Toho movie. Usually Toho movies are just freaking, you know, eye candy, you know, monsters fighting back and forth,
throwing each
other around.
Well, that's the running joke is it's usually only like 10 minutes or 20 minutes of the movies and the rest is the talking characters.
Yes, but all you need to know is that there's a radiation, okay? And then here comes Godzilla, the king. He comes.
I guess in the last two movies.
This is like ridiculous. Like we don't, like you're telling us too much information. Where's the monster?
Yeah. Is there a monster? Like we've been told that
there's
a monster.
A goddamn monster. I thought Atragon was a freaking monster.
Yeah,
like
I failed you. Well, I love that when they're all on the plane, the one guy turns to the other guy and goes, hey, can you tell me the name of the island we're going to? And he goes, no, but I'll bring you there.
Of course, we're on our fucking way.
It's like, dude, you keep saying stuff like this. Like, it doesn't matter anymore.
Well,
we're going there. And you brought a reporter.
They're on a commercial flight.
It doesn't matter what we're doing.
They're on a commercial flight. The pilot's going to say, okay, and well, we're en route to Taiwan or whatever.
And if you look to your left, you'll see an Atragon.
They're on a commercial plane, so they have to know what plane, like, if they're at the airport, that they're usually, it's like a stewardess or, like, somebody, like a host or whatever, saying, okay, now boarding flight 21 to Tibet.
Yeah, to the Atragon Islands.
And they don't know where they're going. I cannot take it.
Did this guy book them the tickets? Did he like blindfold them on the plane? Like, what's happening with them?
It's like for a convoluted plot line, for Toho, these characters all just seem so dumb.
Yeah,
it's just so dumb.
And I guess they're like, there is like a, I guess the photographer that stalked the girl, there's some kind of romance going on there, but it's not really there. I don't know why the movie says it's there, I guess, a couple of times, virtually. But we never really see it. It doesn't matter. You pointed out, and I said one of the major questions I had in this movie is, so far, what's happened in this movie does not make, like, the only reason the movie happens is because the Mu Empire even says that they're alive.
Right.
They never had to do anything.
No.
And I don't know. I guess I understand. I guess as I'm saying that, I think I understand this movie a little bit more of what's happening.
You do?
Yeah, I think I'm starting to understand it as I'm saying it. But I will say that the Mu Empire kind of like alerts themselves to everybody else, making everybody come toward them. I think things maybe would have played out differently if they never even announced themselves.
You know what? That's true. Why would you make a whole plan to send someone on the surface to kidnap these two, to tell them that you're an underground, like under the water, you know, civilization, and we need to destroy your submarine? Like, why would you alert them to that? Why don't you just go find the submarine? You're underwater dwellers.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Why would you tell them?
Well, that's the whole thing is that, okay.
So they can destroy you.
I guess we'll get to it. I guess I'll ask a question later on again. Is it making any sense? But
no.
I will say that they do get to an island. Now, what I love about this is they show up on an island in a jungle and they have guns put on them. And
what does your boarding pass say? Where are you going?
Yeah. They're in the middle of a jungle and they just walk out and this guy's, all these military guys put guns on them. And then the one guy goes, no, they're cool. They're with me. And they're all like, oh, hey, what's up, Tommy? Yeah, go on, buddy. Oh, is that reporter with you too? That's cool. Show him where the military base is.
Oh my God.
So yeah, sure as shit. We do now cut to the Mu Empire, and we see their civilization. That's what we're talking about. They seem like Egyptian or Mayan or something. They seem like they have a clash there, but there is a guy that has the whole white beard.
He looks like Sonny Chiba.
Yeah, I was going to say the Fu Manchu like esque look, and he is the dubber for this is amazing. He's just really going for it. He's doing a lot of laughing acting. It basically looks like the Dead Sea Scrolls, and then the one guy pulls out blueprints for submarines and throws it on top of Dead Sea Scrolls, and he's like, oh, there's the Atragon.
How did you get the blueprint for the Atragon?
So that's where I started realizing this makes a little more sense.
Secret submarine.
Okay, I'm going to give you the credit. I'm going to give you this answer because this does get explained, and now that I'm saying it, it does make sense.
No.
So what we find out is, well, they attacked multiple other submarines. And in the wreckage of one of those submarines, that guy that is building the Atragon had his work prints that he was working on, his blueprints that he was scribbling up. And so he was on board one of these ships that they attacked. And when they attacked it, in the wreckage, they found these blueprints and saw that they were building a weapon that scared them. So they said, well, shit, we need to find this weapon before he finishes it. But for 20 years, they didn't find anything. And it seems very simple since there is a guy stalking the girl every day. And she actually gets him arrested. That's how he gets arrested in the first place. She goes, that guy's been stalking me. And they're like, oh, lock him up. Oh, it just so happens just that he's stalking you for all these years.
Yeah, coincidence that he was hired by her father, who we now find out is alive because he shows up at on the island. And he was hired by her father to watch her. And I'm like, first of all, that's like creep factor 11, but like, you know, make sure that she's okay or just, you know, find out like what she's up to. Yeah. I have no idea.
I guess.
What's the reasoning?
It doesn't.
Because when he enters the scene, he acts like, you know, he doesn't give a shit at all. Oh, this is your father. He's alive.
I think he's supposed to be a bodyguard to make sure that the Mu Empire doesn't attack them because he knows that the Mu Empire exists because they've attacked their subs.
Well, yeah, that's why he's making the submarine.
And he's like, I'm making it to protect Japan from the world. I don't know if he knows it's the Mu Empire or if he thinks it's America.
Yeah.
He was doing this. He started this project during World War II.
Yeah, but they do make mention that the American submarine did implode, you know, because they were chasing it. They were chasing one of their submarines.
Yeah, well, I mean,
the Mu Empire submarines.
When we... we got to talk about the meeting again with this guy. When they get to, we didn't even finish it because they're in the jungle, I pointed out.
Yeah.
The next shot is they're just driving in a desert. And I was like, what is happening? Where are they?
I'm here at this point in the movie. I'm still waiting for a monster to show up.
Yes. Yeah. And
I'm like, what is this?
What happens is they finally get to where they're going. And they were just given a Jeep to just drive. And they actually get stuck in the mud. And then they finally get to the base. It's like the guys in the jungle could have just brought them here.
This movie could have been shortened by 25 minutes.
And then it would have been just, TV.
It would have been
special.
1 hour.
Yeah.
I would have been totally fine with that.
Can I give you a fun fact about this, which makes it even funnier? Is they literally started filming this in September 22nd, and they wanted to release it on December 22nd. So like, I think it might have been like September 23rd or something, but they were like, we want to release it for December 22nd. You only have a couple months. Get this thing done. And that's how they did it. They literally filmed this movie in only a few months.
People weren't even hired, actor-wise.
Yeah.
So they use all their family members and crew members.
Yeah,
and
there's a scene in the Mu Empire where there's like a bunch of like, which is in every single movie you've ever seen. A lot of people who are worshiping the deity, so they're doing dance.
Like extras, yeah.
And it's like every single friend that they could get, they brought on set.
Even some who were supposed to be women, but were clearly not.
There's a couple guys dressed in drag, I think.
There was
at
least five or six of them
dressed
as women.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I think they ran out of, you know, maybe they ran out of women to use in these scenes.
I don't know. Tell, yeah.
But it was awkward because it was like, wait, what? That guy has a mustache.
Yes.
He clearly has a mustache. Like, what's happening?
I like that there's randomly girls with pink hair. And I said to you, Cindy Lauper's in this movie? Like, there's like randomly Cindy Lauper there.
It seemed like a little bit progressive.
It seemed strange. You know? It did seem, for the 60s, it seemed
progressive. I was like, wow, okay, I'm down for this.
This is
about the time I was waiting for something epic to happen.
Well, here's the epic thing that happens. The father and daughter meet. This is great. This guy goes, hey, by the way, that's your daughter. And he looks at her and just goes, uh-huh. And then the guy who's the uncle of Razor goes, didn't she turn out to be a beautiful woman? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyways, let's sit down and talk about the Atragon.
Yeah, he doesn't even care. He's like the worst father of all time.
Yeah, and he virtually says that they go, hey, the Mu Empire is attacking the world. And they're going to devastate the world. We have to stop them. And the only thing that can stop them is what they're scared of, which is the Atragon. And he goes, I don't care about that. I only care about protecting Japan. And they're like, you're a piece of crap.
He's like, the worst.
The daughter stands up and is like, you're the worst. And he's like, oh. Now the other guy, the reporter, stands up. Well, not the reporter. Sorry, the photographer. The random two photographers for a model company that just showed
that
up. That
end up being involved in this somehow.
The one guy stands up and sticks up for her and says, you know, you're a piece of crap. You know, that's your daughter. You didn't have anything nice to say. You couldn't say anything. And he runs after her. And now the father goes, who is that man? Don't you think that's the first thing you ask is, who are all these people that you brought into my secret plans?
Yeah, this is
when you know that, like, and oh, by the way, that's a reporter right there.
Yeah, this is a
that creepy secret, guy over there.
Like, layer. Okay, he's creating a secret weapon.
Exactly.
And you've got all these randos just coming in here, and who knows who they are? They could have tape recorders. They could have cameras. They could be like, I don't know, reporters.
Yeah. And I mean, I was waiting for him to say, oh, that guy's a reporter, by the way.
Oh, my God. He just doesn't even care. It's the worst.
Yeah.
The worst. I'm like, why?
I'm going to give all the plans away. And here's my favorite drop of exposition ever. He goes, oh, so does the Atragon work? And then the guy goes, yeah, we're going to test it tomorrow and find out for sure.
Oh, my God.
20 years.
20 years.
They are just going to test it today.
Oh.
What is the odds of that?
Can we talk about the Atragon?
So... it takes a little bit before we see the Atragon. We finally get to see it, I guess.
It looks like, so it has the front of it is like Tunneler, you know, from Puppet, the Puppet Master movies. It's like a tunnel.
I would say that
a drill.
The pterodrome, whatever that is from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, where they have the little drills that go in the ground. That's exactly what it is. It's like the front of that is the drill. But it also has a rock crusher, so it keeps poking out of the drill.
Yeah, this is obviously a toy airplane that has been rebuilt because it has windows. I'm sorry, those are windows.
It's debatable what the hell this is, but it does look like little windows.
They're teeny tiny airplane windows. I'm like, okay, I don't think a submarine is supposed to have windows. That's just me. I'm not like an engineer or rocket scientist, but I can tell you.
I suggested that they were pressure spots on like a sub would have to drop the water out to rise and like sink.
That they do nothing. They do nothing. Well,
it doesn't matter. I mean, this is just a toy model that we got in this movie.
I'm just expecting the Atragon to be some like real beefed up like weapon, you know, like it's supposed to be like a badass. No, it's got a stupid drill on the front of it. It just looks like a model airplane.
It's around this time where we actually get to see this thing in action, what it can do. And there's a reason it looks like a model airplane, because it can fly.
It can rise out of the water and
just hover.
Fly.
And hover around. It's virtually the helicarrier, but it's also a submarine.
Okay, yes, that's great and all, but what's the weapon? Like, what's the weapon?
That's a great
I need help
question.
With this. Like, well, this weapon is something that this whole civilization is freaking out over, because the Atragon is said to, like, it's able to destroy life as they know it. Now...
well,
how?
We find out that they've created a technology that can freeze anything. And so that the Atragon and their weapon set seems to be some kind of, I'm guessing, just imagine the Terminator 2, what's that, when they douse the Terminator in.
In liquid metal. It's liquid nitrogen.
Yeah, liquid nitrogen. Like, they have some kind of liquid nitrogen technology that they're scared of, because it can even freeze underwater when they aim. It's baffling. It doesn't make any sense.
Here's my main question, okay? Now, the Admiral, the father, okay, that built the Atragon, he has never encountered these people before. So he knows nothing about their weaknesses or their strengths or anything like that.
I think it has, anything has the weakness. If you pour less liquid nitrogen on, it's going to freeze them.
But that's a little bit on the nose, considering how when our we'll call them aliens, when they came to the surface, they were cold. How would he know?
It never even comes back. That doesn't even matter.
It's just too on the nose. I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking this movie.
I think you're overthinking that, because I think that this would work on anybody. And I think that he was purposely making this technology to win the war. But okay. I mean, 20 years, I think that you maybe should check in on some stuff and see if things are still going the way it's going, you know?
Yeah, no, he's been on this island for who knows how long, 20 years.
He's got to be informed. He's sending agents out.
Yeah.
Like, it's baffling. Like, it's so weird. But he says he refuses to help. But they do this test. They show the strength. And then they fly back in. They go back into their little base. Because when they're on the surface, the one guy, the photographer, goes, I don't see a submarine anywhere on the surface here. And they're like, yeah, it's under. This little reporter guy who's creepy, he just goes, you know what? It's underground. And they're like, how do you know that? I can hear it.
Yeah, nobody questions anything about this motherfucker, okay?
I can hear it underground.
Like, they let him infiltrate their whole entire, like, posse, okay? Their whole group. He infiltrates them. They don't ask one question, like, who the fuck are you? What paper do you work for? What company you work for? Who are you? They just let him into their circle. I'm just baffled by this.
We finally do get to reveal that he is the villain, because he kidnaps the daughter, and because he finds, sees it, the guy that likes her, he has to kidnap both of them. He knocks them both out, because what he says is he's helping the girl because he has rigged the entire dock and the Atragon to blow up.
Mm-hmm.
It's because I guess he was just able to smuggle in tons of weapons or explosives. I have no idea.
And what? I guess he stole it from carry-on luggage.
Maybe he stole it from the army there. I have no idea.
Okay.
But it does all blow up. But the Atragon is not literally at all phased. The only thing it did was kind of collapse its surroundings in its storage unit place, like its garage, and it just kind of like held it there.
Yeah, it's fine.
During the explosions, a guy, like 15 explosions go off, and the one guy one of the army guys goes, alert. I'm like, I think everybody knows, dude. Like, wake up. The alarm's going off.
Your base is crashing in, so I'm pretty sure everyone heard that.
I think everybody knows.
But isn't this like where they tell our main girl, Makoto, I think her name is?
Sure.
So they tell her and the filmmaker guy all about Mando?
So they bring them down to the Mu Empire, and they bring them in front of the council. It turns out that there is a queen, and she says, we're going to feed them to Mando. I keep saying Mando. What is it?
Manda?
Manda?
It's Manda, actually.
Manda shall get them.
Manda, thank you. Our great god, Manda, thank you for your most generous gift to him.
It's Manda.
It's
Manda.
I have to glance down now. Yeah, Manda.
Manda? Or you say Manda.
Okay.
Manda! Manda!
But what, it doesn't matter. Yeah. It's a dragon. So
feed him to him.
But what's amazing is that this dragon, so he lives underneath the water like they do. Okay. So they have a dragon.
Well, they bring these two people into a jail cell, And we find out that the two other people who were kidnapped in the early movie are still alive as well.
Yes.
And they're in the jail cell, and they've just been torturing her for information on Atragon. And I think that's why they brought her here, to lure this guy out, the father? I don't know. I guess they know all this. But they go, I think the one guy goes, what the hell is Manda, whatever it is. And they're like, oh, you want to see our god? Oh, just open that little shutter right there in your jail cell.
And it was a waterproof window.
He's not even in a water. He's underground with them for some reason. They open up the shutter, and there's just a googly-eyed monster looks in and goes, hello.
You know what's funny, though? I was so happy because I'm like, finally, a monster.
A monster showing up in this film.
This monster is showing up in this movie that was supposed to be about monsters. And I was like,
well,
oh,
I didn't
yay.
Know. All the imagery of this movie is of this creature wrapping up the sub.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I assume this was going to be a kaiju film.
Uh-huh.
And it's not.
No,
but,
no.
What it does happen is that we see the creature for the first time, and that they were right. The Atragon gets loose. They start attacking the world like they say they were going to. In fact, we see a bunch of people set up Tokyo. They like evacuate Tokyo, and then Tokyo collapses.
Of course,
it just collapses.
It collapses even though there are no kaiju. You want poor Tokyo?
Yeah, just because they command the seas, like they command the ocean, they from underground, they just make it collapse. I got to tell you a story about this scene.
Okay, tell me.
They set up, like, you always talk about these models and how you love them and how mad you would be if you made these and they just destroy them.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine this: someone just made an entire Tokyo.
Yeah.
So what they did was they rigged it so there was a thing underneath the fake city, and they attached to a tractor. And when the tractor moves, it would slowly pull it to make it look like an earthquake. So the buildings were falling in like dominoes.
Mm-hmm.
The tractor took off too fast, and the whole city just fell.
Oh my god.
So all the work that they did in the way they did it to show it falling in slow motion and like a domino effect, it just went boop.
Yeah, that's why everything
collapsed.
Went so fast.
Yeah.
Okay, I was going to say, that's like the quickest that a city's been destroyed in a Toho movie.
It reminded me of when Ed Wood, when the tombstone just falls into the hole all of a sudden. but can you imagine being that mad when you made an entire city and it just... fucking fails because the guy took off.
Oh my god, it's so funny. Everything can be compared to Ed Wood.
Yeah.
Hey, Ed, do you want to do another take? It looks like a big guy had a problem getting through the door there. No, it's fine. It's real. Let's go.
Can you guys make us another model? You only got a day. So yeah, that's what happened there. That's crazy. And it doesn't matter because we never talk about how an entire city was leveled.
No.
And we never find out about New York because at this time, the Atragon is now taking off. It is going after all the other submarines and blowing them up. And then it dives into the ocean and it goes right for the Wu Empire.
The Mu.
I know, I keep saying the Wu-Tang. I keep going Wu-Tang Clan. The Mu Empire goes right down into the ocean, goes after them, and it uses its... It turns out
drill,
the whole thing can
right?
spray the ocean. So it starts spraying the side of the mountain.
Yeah, and the dragon pops out of the side of the mountain and tries to get it. But I was laughing my ass off because I'm like, that's a dragon. It can't eat the submarine.
Yeah, it's because at the same exact time, the plot is here is that the people who were kidnapped break out and kidnap the queen. And they force her into wearing a scuba outfit. They're like, oh, these scuba outfits, they must be pressurized. We could just swim anywhere we want.
Yeah.
No
okay.
air tanks, no nothing.
Oh,
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, really? You won't get the bends?
Yeah.
You won't like be. You won't implode? Like your guts won't like spew out of your asshole because you're leagues and leagues under the sea?
It's just fine. And they make them. So we get to see the best sequence where they escape with the queen and swim to the Atragon. As the queen accidentally, like she snuck like a hit on the panel and it blew up a side of a mountain and it released their god.
Yeah, their dragon, which yeah. is like the most comedic thing ever. But at least it was a monster. At least we got some semblance of a monster.
Yeah, we can see that the Atragon starts shooting it, and it kind of backs off a little bit. It gives the whole crew the time to swim, which is amazing. They basically put them on fishing, like they had them on ropes, and then they had them pretend to swim.
It was amazing. But you know, I'll tell you what, they did what they had to do back then, because that probably would have been rough for anybody.
It was just so funny to see them trying to like do like the dog paddle.
Yeah, but what's amazing about this scene is I even said it to you. I'm like, the Atragon sprays the dragon with some sort of like what I thought was like a spider web or something. But you said it was like some sort of freezing agent.
It's a freeze ray. Yeah, it freezes.
How does that work underwater like that?
Why wouldn't it freeze all the water around them?
Right.
I don't understand it at all.
None of this makes any sense.
It shoots like silly string. On the creature, which I think is what it is they're using. I think they're using some kind of, what is that, like fake snow that you spread in the windows? Yeah. It's definitely what they're shooting all over it to make it look like it's just covered in webs. But before that even happens, the creature wraps around the thing to destroy it, to crush it. But the Atragon also could just electrify itself, so it just shocks them.
Yeah, so they know the Atragon, it has all those abilities that they pretty much have, right?
It can do everything. It can do anything you want.
It's crazy.
It's a MacGuffin. It's a giant MacGuffin. It can just do whatever the hell you feel like at any moment.
Well,
I didn't think this
is a great, looking submarine. It was like whatever. But then the submarine crashes through one of the walls.
Because after they beat the creature, they're just like, oh, fuck your couch. And they just go into it.
Right into the freaking, what is it? Cathedral or temple or whatever.
Sure.
And starts zapping everybody with that freeze stuff.
Well, it doesn't. They have released an entire league of their soldiers with the guns. And they just showing everybody get shot with this freeze ray, which turns all of those people into cartoons.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Frozen cartoon people.
I was like, you know what? For the time, this is interesting.
Yeah. This movie, we haven't even mentioned it because there's so much goofiness going on. There's so much back screening. And so many matte paintings, like they're like, oh, look over there. Look at all that nickel on the mountain, you know, and they're like, here's a painting. Oh, there's a base.
It was pretty bad. Everything was a painting. Everything.
And it was all not good paintings. It was just really, really quick.
Yeah. I mean, they did the best they could with the budget. But it was, so they crashed through and they're zapping the shit out of everybody.
I will say this. It, there's nothing else we can say here. They cause genocide. They wipe out this empire.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. Okay. So they were going to do it to the humans anyway, right?
Yeah, but they just, I, that's what I was asking. My question is, would they? Why were they? Were they only threatened because they kept coming near their?
No. They said they wanted to take over the world. That's what they said.
That's such a generic thing for a bad guy to say. It's like, oh, we're bad guys. You know how I know I'm a bad guy? Because I want to take over the world. But why did it take this long? Like, why this long? They could have devastated the planet already.
Right. But they were waiting for the Atragon to be, finished, being built, so that they had a movie. See how that goes?
Exactly. That's my point. I looked at it as, would they even have done anything if the Atragon wasn't even in play?
It doesn't really seem like it. They were sending one or two agents to the surface at a time. To do what?
And only to kidnap people to find the Atragon, because that's all they care about. Why didn't you just overthrow the planet?
Yeah, I wasn't getting I'm going to kill everybody vibes from those two guys.
I didn't get that from anybody in this movie, except when it came to the Atragon. And they were like, you know what? You guys aren't doing what we want. We gave you demands, and we're going to devastate your cities.
Yeah.
And I was like, I kind of get it.
But I mean, in all these 20 years, before the Atragon was even finished, they could have taken over the world if they wanted to.
They could have, they look exactly like humans.
Yeah.
They could have just infiltrated humanity and took over all the governments and found out that the Atragon was being built that way.
Yeah.
Instead, they were like, nah, we'll just follow some girl. We'll steal scientists or heads of the military until we figure out where they are. Like, that's all their plan was. Like, yeah. It took 20 years to come up with that terrible plan?
But, I mean, even more a silly plan was the Atragon going in. Okay, so they froze everybody, but then they also froze their artificial sunlight machine.
They did. So they devastated them. That's why I said
they completely destroyed them, and everything blew up. Everything, their whole entire underwater civilization. Now, let me ask you a question. This happens where, okay, so this is under the ocean, basically in the Earth's core almost. Don't you think that that would have some kind of effect on the, like, the water, the maybe a tsunami?
Exactly. Also, you're affecting the core of the Earth, and if there's a creature in there, they tapped into it. Yeah.
Something, natural disaster.
There's definitely questions about that. What I love is that anybody who survived the Mu Empire actually tries to make it out in submarines, and we actually watch as they murder all those people too.
Yeah.
And we watch the Atragon like kill all of those ships and mm-hmm. what looks like a volcano under the water.
Mm-hmm.
And the queen just sits there and watches the genocide of her people to the point where she goes, yeah, I'm going to go kill myself. And she runs off the ship and dives into the ocean and swims into the bubbling water. And they're like, yeah, she knows that she'd rather die with her people. And the end. And I was like, good God, we just watched them like wipe out people.
They could have
been
peace.
They could have been some kind of conversation.
Nobody really went out of their way to try and create like a harmonious balance, you know, some kind of a truce, nothing. Like, all they had to say was, okay, we have the Atragon and will only be used against you if you try anything, but let's just live in harmony. Why do you need to conquer the world? You don't. If you're happy down here, then stay.
Yeah, if you already have, what do you need?
Right.
And the surface world doesn't seem great.
Because
you're cold and you don't really like it there.
Yeah.
Why? And you have your god, and like, why even bother? It's a bit baffling. Like, and I kept thinking the whole movie, but I think now, you know, breaking it down, I'm kind of like, oh, never mind. Because there was a plot. I guess they found the blueprints and they knew, oh, this is going to come and get us.
Right.
So I guess that, but if you're saying that their whole plot was like, now we just want to conquer.
They did say that, yeah.
And that's like, you own the oceans. Like, do you even have to try? You can just do anything you want.
Right. It was.
And now I gotta point this out, which is really funny, is that, again, just like last week's movie, War of the Gargantuans, one of the Gargantuas and this creature in this movie, the monster, the kaiju,
mm-hmm.
they show up in a Godzilla movie too.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the Gargantuas only shows up in one of those movies, but this monster actually shows up in two movies, Destroy All Monsters and I there's another Godzilla film. I think he shows up in both, and it makes me laugh so much. Now, if I ever go back to those films, knowing that this creature in this movie does absolutely nothing, to see that he's actually a kaiju in another film makes me really laugh. Like, you could do nothing, bro. Like, I think that he helps in Destroy All Monsters. I think it helps fight Ghidorah.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
Because it takes, like, all the D-listers joining the A-lister, Godzilla and, like, Rodan and Mothra, to fight that one creature. And all the D-listers show up to help. And I guess this creature is one of them, which makes me laugh a lot.
This creature, I mean, they could have done so much more with it, but I just feel like, okay, you duped us, man. I mean, I thought Atragon was the name of a freaking kaiju. I thought we were going to have, like, some kind of monster, and it was going to be like a traditional Toho movie.
Well, that's the thing, Joe. And the real monster was man.
I guess you're right. And I guess I am a monster because I'm expecting a monster movie out of Toho when they are completely capable of not doing monster movies and doing other things. But it's just what I expected, you know?
Yeah.
So,
you know, none of our main characters even die.
None of the main characters die, no.
Yeah.
Nope.
I think all of the people that we meet, except for like the American Army, survive. Yeah. I guess that the chief of police might have died in that Tokyo disaster, because he was there and we never found out.
Well, I mean, millions of people died in that Tokyo disaster.
Well, I was thinking that they must have evacuated.
Why? Why would they even have advanced knowledge that the city was going to cave into the freaking
ocean?
They
warned them they were going to devastate New York and Tokyo.
Mm. Well, yeah, I guess it could have been empty threats, but who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? But I just kept thinking about it. I'm like, maybe, I don't know. It's funny that no hero, nobody, there's no actual stakes except for the fact that Tokyo gets devastated.
Yeah, I have to say that of all the Toho movies, this one was probably the most disappointing. I mean, except for Booger. I don't like Booger. That's Son of Godzilla. I call him Booger because he looks like a freaking snot. I can't take that movie.
It makes me laugh really hard, that movie. So at least that
I know,
funny.
Because it's just so goofy. You can't so help goofy. Yourself. I mean, I hate him. But this one, I gotta say, there was really no monsters here, and it bothered me. And I felt like I needed it.
I failed. I thought this was a kaiju film because there is a monster in it. It just isn't a kaiju film like we thought it was.
Well, see, it's fine. If I had advanced knowledge that it didn't fit the mold, you know? If it was different and I had advanced knowledge of that, I would go in thinking, all right, you know, it's going to be a normal Toho movie. It's going to be just like a run-of-the-mill, you know, just nothing really.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be extraordinary like their monster movies. I would have had that knowledge.
Yeah.
But, here, I don't know. What are you going to give this movie?
I wanted to point out this was the 13th highest grossing domestic film of the year that it came out in Japan. It was making 175 million yen.
Wow.
This was popular.
Okay.
So it kind of shocks me. And I'm sure all the kids had an Atragon toy.
I mean,
in their bathtubs.
Atragon toy. Get the hell out of here. Jesus Christ.
I'll give it 3 Atragons out of 10.
And where is Atragon?
Atragon?
So you've heard.
Atragon was constructed to serve our country.
Okay, I'm going to give it 3 Atragons out of 10, too.
Atragon might be able to destroy them.
I'll not help.
What? I created Atragon. I demand that it be used for just one purpose. Atragon is for the glory and honor of Japan!
I will say, I am not going to be doing a segment. My segment of why we can't have nice things, because there's no ones.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. There's no ones.
That's wild.
Yeah. And there's only 2 tens. And 1 is a little too serious, which makes me think it's written by a studio head.
Who would write a review?
It was
all
whole thing. Or maybe, you know, someone that works for the studio. Who knows? But no segment because there's no ones. But I got to say,
this has been a talkin' trash, talkin' and trash month because, I mean, we are really going for the talking trash. Like, honestly, I thought this is a no-brainer because we do enjoy watching these.
I do.
But, I mean, it's such a bare-bones movie. I don't know if any other dubbed or, I mean, undubbed or whatever, I don't know if it really would change anything. Unless the movie was completely re-edited, which could be. We find out constantly that these movies are also edited. But I can't imagine what would be changed or what would be different. And I don't know how any of it would actually help. I guess there's like an aspect of this movie that is like 20 Leagues Under the Sea.
Yeah, you know, I guess it is.
I guess there's like aspects of it. But for some reason, it's just not as fun.
No.
I do like seeing the Atragon fly. I like seeing that silliness.
But that's just, you know, run-of-the-mill crap.
I like the Mu Empire. I think they're silly. There's a lot of silliness going on there, which I kind of enjoy. That's the quaint, like, stuff that I like about it. I think that's the only reason that this movie might be a little more fun. But I don't think... It just makes me appreciate the Godzilla films more.
It really does. And I will say, in this movie, unlike the other movies, this movie didn't have one character that I even cared about. I didn't even know their names, only the first one, which is, what's her name? The main girl, Magatu.
Yes, Magatu.
Makoto.
I made a joke in the opening. I said to you, I think we're going to get a chalkboard out and write everybody's names down and connect them all and what they're all doing. Because I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to remember any of this.
I am not getting all that serious about this.
I'm only saying as a joke. Like, I feel like I need to have that vision board with the ropes and like,
oh my God, I know.
This person did this and this person did that.
There are too many players here and we didn't care about any of them. It was weird. It was a weird movie.
It is a weird one.
It's a weird one to end on, too.
No, we got another one next week.
Oh, we have another one?
Yeah, this is only the third. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's only the third? No.
Yeah, it was Frankenstein Conquers the World, War of the Gargantuas, and now this.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. Beat you down so much.
You know what? Bring me some monsters next week.
Well, next week we're going to leave Toho and we're going to jump into Gamera.
All right, Gamera's a monster. I'll take it.
It is going to have monster fights.
Good. I'll take it. I need it. We need a refresher. We need to get back to basics here.
Yeah, we got to get back to it. Hey, you can't win them all, man.
Nope.
You can't win them all. I try. And I was shocked because this was one I had never heard of before. Like the only one of this, I had heard about Frankenstein Conquers the World and I had known about War of the Gargantuas. Didn't know there was like connections there. Didn't realize these movies were all directed by the same people. I didn't know. And this one came out of nowhere when I was looking into those films. So I was like, oh, this is another one I've never heard of. I'm shocked I've never heard of it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it doesn't fit the regular Toho mold. That's why. But like, is the next week's movie directed by Yashiro Honda?
No, it has nothing to do with him because he was on the contract with Toho and it's not Toho.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to leave it. I knew we were going to do three of them and I thought there were three different types of films. So I was like, okay, maybe they'll be a little different.
All right.
Yeah, that's why I figure we'll go to something else. I had a whole list of movies I wanted to watch, but I like when I find ones I don't know about. So this is one of those movies.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this. This is I love these kind of movies. We were talking about that during this movie. We're like, I love these kind of movies.
Yeah.
But then we slowly started drifting away from it, going, what the hell?
Yeah, it's just...
Why is this happening? Why is this happening?
It was not as epic. It was boring. It was kind of boring.
Yeah, it also could be that, you know, long day and a lot of kind of stuff, too. But I was going to say that we like these type of movies. And again, this is like when I watch Giallo films, when we do Giallo months here and there.
Why you gotta bring up Giallo all the time?
I wanted to bring up like the two different genres of movies that like I like stuff in them, but it doesn't mean I like am gonna like it all. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think that some are definitely gonna connect and some aren't. And I know that a lot of people like these movies. We've watched some other movies that people have put up in the... You know, the Toho, like, all these are classics.
Mm-hmm.
And we've watched some of those and we're like, man, I can't get into this film. Yeah. It's kind of boring. It's kind of doesn't really have much in it. There's something not that fun about it. And so I don't know why some of these movies don't connect with me.
Hmm.
When I do like these, you know, these kind of these monster sci-fi flicks, like these kind of like weird things. I like these kind of hybrids. Like I usually like that kind of stuff.
I mean, well, let's face it. You know, you got a big crush on the big man. You like when he's in the movies. So,
but not just him. Like, it doesn't matter. You know, like that science fiction, Japanese science fiction.
Oh, yeah,
I kind of enjoy those movies.
It's fun.
It's kind of surprising that some of these don't connect.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, threes it is, and I guess next week we'll just hope for a better, more fun situation. I mean, Atragon sounds like a kind of cool name for a monster, not a submarine. It's no, mm-mm.
This Admiral Kusumi is Atragon. Lieutenant, is your crew standing by?
Yes, standing by, sir.
Let us begin the trial run. Enter ship.
On position!
Prepare to launch!
Prepare to launch!
Fantastic submarine.
Well, I mean...
The Subaru Atragon. Four-door.
should we edit...
Fun for the whole family.
Should I make a video of the Atragon as a car ad?
Yes, please. Do it. I have to go to bed.
Okay. Jeez. Thank you. All right. So, thanks for listening, everybody. As always, hit us up on Instagram at Just Another Movie Night. And... Joe at the Crafty Misfit, and tell us what you think. Tell us why Atragon is a classic and why you like it. I would love to hear. I would always love to hear anything anybody's got to say. And tell us other Toho movies or monster movies that we haven't seen. Maybe we haven't seen them. Who knows? Tell us about them. Love to hear that too. And tell us why the Mu Empire is the best empire. And we're going to remember it forever.
No, we're not going to remember it.
We're
going to
remember them forever. We're going to hold them in our hearts. And right now I'm going to play a loving memorial to the Mu Empire.
Okay, I'm
going. Okay, have a good one, everybody. Bye.
I feel as if this is all a nightmare.
I wish it were.
And they expect us to believe that the whole world once belonged to the Mu Empire?
This must be some kind of joke.
They defy the Mu Empire. They deserve death.